It's not figures. Okay.
If I have some handouts, I think that. I've given up the idea of putting the boards up.
Thank you.
I can tell that it's going to be a lively business.
That's correct.
Good morning, Your Honors. Dennis McDevitt for appellant. This is an appeal from the tax court. My clients, Mr. and Mrs. Sangjae Park, are in tax parlance non-resident alien individuals. They're citizens of South Korea, not resident of the United States, and not engaged in any U.S. trade or business. Therefore, they're subject to U.S. tax on their non-business U.S. source income, which is governed by Internal Revenue Code Section 871A. Now, the government brief makes the argument, or accuses me of making a policy argument rather than a statutory argument. And I can assure you that my argument is based upon the statute. It's the government who reads the statute to say that the only determinable and periodical income that's subject to 30% tax by Mr. Park are his jackpots that are reported on the W-2G. Nothing else. No other slot activity is even considered.
It seems to me, just so I can understand your argument, it seems to me you're making a couple of alternative arguments. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. But one is that it should be netted on an annual basis. And then it sounds like you're also arguing, and this would I assume be in the alternative, but I see it a lot in your briefs, that it should be netted on a per session basis.
Yes, Your Honor. Now, I think we have to distinguish netting from the realization concept of accounting.
Yeah.
What the statute says, what the regulation says, is look, the 30% tax applies to gross income.
Right. Okay?
Now, gross income, I was a CPA in my earlier life. I learned that gross income is something that is realized. Realization is a concept that's incorporated into the statute through determinable. So the income must be determinable. Okay. My argument is more based upon the realization concept than it is based upon the netting concept, although both the realization concept considers the losses and the wins to be both components of gross income.
So just so you know where I'm coming from, I think your annual realization argument is tough to square with the language, but I do think the per session argument has some force. Now,
let me address that issue, okay, because I think that's very important. Another thing I learned when I was a CPA was that we determine gross income based upon periodicity, an accounting period. What's our accounting period?
Say again, I'm sorry.
Periodicity, which is an old accounting term, which means annual, calendar year, some kind of an accounting period. Because in order to apply the 30%, we have to quantify what are we talking about.
And can't you do periodicity after each session?
You could. Yeah. You could. But then, what are we really after? What are we really after? We're after,
at that point, makes the treatment of the non-resident alien's gambling income the same as American persons?
The professional gambler thing?
No, American persons.
Yes.
As
it puts them on an equal basis with the American.
I understand it. The law is that if these had been American persons, then they would have been done on an annualized basis, right?
Correct.
And you're saying that there's no difference in the treatment?
I'm saying that.
Isn't there a different statute?
No, I'm saying that the gross income is determined the same way.
Wait a minute. You said there isn't a different statute?
No, I'm sorry. No, let me clarify that.
Yeah, okay.
There is a difference because taxable income is involved. Americans are subject to tax under Section 1, which is taxable income, which is defined as gross income adjusted for certain adjustable deductions, and then finally you get itemized deductions. Gambling losses for Americans are relegated to being itemized deductions. But the statute in this case is going for annual gross income.
Let me stop you there. I'm an American, so I understand this, because this is a little tricky for those of us who are not regular slots players. If you
or tax lawyers.
Yes. For Americans, as I understood it, you would take your per session wins throughout the year, and those are your income.
And those go on page one of the 1040.
That's above the line, right?
Above the line.
I'm using the right terminology here.
Correct.
And then you take your per session losses throughout the year, add those up, and then you can deduct them up to a cap, which is the amount of your.
Well, and then those go on the Schedule A itemized deduction.
Right, and it's
capped.
And then
they ultimately get.
They can zero out if your losses, if your per session losses are greater than your per session gains added up throughout the year. What's different, as I understand it, under your theory for the foreign, is that you can't subtract out the per session losses. Now, you don't agree with that entirely.
I don't agree with that because of the periodic rule that, look, the statute says determinable and periodical. Okay, what does periodical mean? Periodical means what's our accounting period? Our accounting period is calendar year. So I take all of my wins and all of my losses during the accounting period, and I combine them together. There's no Section 62 and 63 are the relevant code sections that put the 165D deduction onto Schedule A.
The IRS and that guidance, which you quote frequently for Americans in determining slots, does it on a per session basis.
It does.
So why wouldn't it make sense? That's the word gains there, and that same word is in your statute, obviously, gains.
Yes.
Why wouldn't we do it the same way here, per session basis? We're not bound by that guidance, but it does seem to me to be a persuasive interpretation of the word gains.
That would be an improvement over the current situation.
That's half a loaf for you.
Yeah, we're halfway there. But
I'm curious, did you seek that relief in the tax court?
Your Honor, believe me, the tax court, we stipulated to all the facts. The government didn't want to hear about losses. They said, look, Barba says losses are expenses.
That's not my question. Did you, in your petition, did you say you were making two different arguments, that this should be netted annually and that you should, even if it isn't, that you should?
No, Your Honor.
You didn't make that argument.
Yeah, because.
And didn't the tax court?
I would have made that argument in my brief instead of in my instead of, because the petition in tax court is just a doesn't go to the legal argument.
And didn't the tax court say with respect to per session, that Mr. Park didn't have the data?
No, Your Honor.
The tax
court never got to this issue. They just simply said, Barba, you lose.
I see.
Because the IRS's rule is essentially a per spin rule.
Per spin, yeah, right. But well, the Barba case.
Let me ask you to follow up on Judge Tatel's question, because I'm interested in this too. How would this work? Does this casino have the per session records?
They
per session.
They do not. Well, they must. They do. They do, but they don't maintain it for the customers. And
how does it work for the American citizens?
That's a good question, Your Honor. In a typical audit, they will produce these letter. The taxpayers in an audit will report their W-2G income. The way the IRS memo works is that they will only report the gross income.
Can I interrupt? If I go to a casino and I'm there for just 1 hour. That's it. That's all I've done, and I make $1,000. And I lose $500.
Yes.
Well, I put $500 on my tax return, right?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, and what records do I keep? Do I have to keep records for each?
According to the service, they want you to maintain daily records. However, in my experience in real audits,
when they
produce these letters that come from the casino, along with oral testimony, they will accept that.
What letters? What letters?
Yeah. The Pechanga letter that's a part of this record.
Yeah, but suppose I don't win any jackpots. Suppose I just, win a little bit.
Then you're expected to maintain records of some sort. Or to produce oral testimony or some other outside testimony.
To jump off from Judge Tatel's hypothetical, if in that 1 hour you won a $2,000 jackpot.
The Schallenberger.
Right, and you're going to pay the 30% on that. It's going to be withheld at the time, right?
Okay. The 30% will be withheld. That's a deposit towards my tax liability.
Right. Well, I was going to say, okay, let me finish the hypothetical. So you get the $2,000 jackpot, and suppose in the rest of the hour you lose $1,500. So you've made $500, but you're going to pay tax, according to the IRS, on $2,000, correct?
Under the Barba case, yes. Mr. Park will pay tax on $2,000.
That's really, to my mind, focuses the issue here. Do you pay the tax on the $2,000 in that hypothetical, or do you pay the tax on $500 in that hypothetical?
Precisely. And we say the $500. However,
but how do you do the records? That's what I can't figure out. I don't want to do something in an opinion,
Your Honor,
here that's going to be crazy out there.
It's impossible.
Well,
Park had thousands and thousands of spins of the slot machine.
All right, something has to be done.
Yeah.
So what's the most possible thing that can be done?
Get a letter from the casino saying, did this guy win or lose money?
And
to maintain.
That works, apparently, if he's playing with a player's card.
Correct. That's correct.
But now, suppose he isn't playing with a player's card.
Then
suppose he's sitting at the blackjack table with a stack of chips.
What you do is you bring in ATM slips, you maintain daily logs, you produce records and oral testimony.
Blackjack's exempt, right, from all this? I thought blackjack and craps were exempt.
Foreigners.
Suppose he's at whatever isn't exempt.
Yeah, I just say that because with slots, I guess they do. Again, my knowledge is from the briefs, but they have cards, right? And the casino has all these records
and all
here.
The play is tracked.
So we have annual records. We had daily records. What we didn't seem to have was per session.
That's a new thing, and it has not been incorporated by
the
casinos.
Unless things have changed, you don't have to have a player's card to play slots.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But you can produce records and testimony to support your per session amount. And you're expected to, frankly. But now, how are foreigners expected to do that? They don't even speak English.
Have a player's card, right? Isn't that going to do it?
Yeah, and they are going to be inclined to do that because 30% of their winnings are going to be taken away.
I mean, the problem
by
is
the
you're
casino.
You could have lost money, actually. So change the hypothetical again. You get a $2,000 jackpot, and the rest of the night you lost $3,000. You're going to lose $1,000 at the casino and pay tax on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
under the IRS.
But I can get my $2,000. I can get my money back if I can prove that I had a losing session. Because the casino doesn't.
You can. Are you saying you should be able?
You should be able.
Yeah.
You can, then what are we doing?
Yeah, here? Right, exactly. Right. Right. Not until we.
You
get
should be able to legally, and you're saying you physically can. Come up with some records.
Yes, and so what will happen in these cases is that the foreigner will have a couple $1,000 withheld. He'll file some kind of refund claim. He'll have to produce some kind of record about why he thinks he's entitled to a refund, and then the service can say yes or no.
Let me just ask you this, and you may not know this on casinos. If you go into a casino and play slots for 2 hours and leave, are they going to have a record of how much you won in that 2 hours?
Only if you play
lost
with a player's card. With a player's card, they will.
So it's yes, they'll have all sorts of records.
Sorts of records, and you can tell from this record that the
gain if you play with a player's card. But if you're just standing there dropping your chips in, it's not going to show what you.
So if you want to be tax protective, you're going to want to play as with a player's card.
And you're going to want to maintain daily records so that you can prove now. But I don't know how that's going to work
all
with foreigners who don't know our system. But that's
well, obviously, Mr. Park played with a. Did he play?
Yeah, and he was smart enough to play with a player's card, and he went home a loser.
Right.
And they still.
Well, we don't know that. So we don't know that on the per sessions.
On a per session basis, that gaming record doesn't show it.
Right. So he could have. He could still have, and this is why I think you're going for the annual theory rather than the per session theory, if I can put words in your mouth, is that he could still have a fair amount of income on a per session theory, given the way this works.
That is possible, Your Honor,
yeah.
And it would be our responsibility to quantify what that might be.
But it's going to be lower than what you got hammered with.
Without a doubt, because he lost money. Just to put it in context, he won $426,000. Even betting at $40 a spin, it would take him 10,500 spins, losing spins, to lose that much money.
Suppose this. I think this is where the foreign rule really hits you. Suppose you had 20 sessions, and in 10 of them, you won a sum of $500,000, and in the other 10, you lost a sum of $500,000, okay? So you're zero. But under the per session rule, you're still going to have to pay tax under the $500,000, right?
That would absolutely be killer. However, which again brings back to my point.
You jumped ahead.
Let us talk.
You jumped ahead. I think on your annual, this is, I'm just trying to illustrate and understand this. Yeah. On your annual theory, you pay no tax there. On your per session theory, you'd have to pay tax on the $500,000.
I have no problem.
On the IRS's theory, if your jackpots added up to $700,000, you have to pay on those.
But I would argue the statute refers to periodic, and the statute says periodical income. And in my to my way of thinking, we prepare tax returns on a annual basis. So it takes now we're picking and choosing
which
certain periods
are
taxable.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Which statute are we looking at right now? The one that you just quoted, what?
Fixed or determinable annual or periodical income, which is 871A1, capital A, small a. A1, capital A, fixed or determinable annual or periodical income. And Judge Miller in the Barba case says, yeah, you know, wage
periodical
income
gains,
is both determinable
income.
And periodical.
Gains, too, it has. Gains in income.
Gains, losses.
The IRS, at least in the American context, has defined gains from slots on a per-session basis.
Yes. Yes. But they also permit losses. But on 871, only speaks to gross income. What is gross income? To my way of thinking, gross income is a profit. Determined on a for the entire accounting period.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. I'm John Dudek. I represent the commissioner. I'd like to focus on the deduction statute at issue here.
Whoa.
873.
The circle you focus on in your brief. That isn't what the appellant is asserting. Their argument isn't based on the deduction statute at all. They're arguing that in the first computation of the income, that you don't get the income computation without the consideration of the loss. And then your brief spends its whole time arguing about why this isn't deductible. They never asserted it was deductible. Tell us why it isn't part of the computation in the first instance.
It's not, Your Honor. They're trying to do an end run around the statute, 873, that does not allow a deduction for gambling losses. In the case
of
the
first, you did it again.
The first
they're
question.
Not asking for a deduction for gambling losses.
They want a backdoor. They want a backdoor deduction.
No, they don't.
Why do you not make the first computation as to what the gain is or the income is on the basis of the income and the loss before you ever get to the question of deductibility? They're not arguing about a deduction. You spend your whole brief shooting, doing a magnificent job of killing a straw man, but he was dead when you started. That's not what they're asking for.
Well, again, I stand on my position. Congress put the deductions that you were entitled to, theft losses, casualty losses. They didn't put a gambling loss deduction.
Okay, can I try this approach? So gains is a word here, right? We have to figure out what the gain is, right?
Okay.
That's in the statute. That's in 871A1A, right? Gains, periodical gains. And what I'm trying to figure out is, do you determine gains? Let's say I've put aside the annual approach just for my thinking. Do I do that on a per session basis or a per spin basis? The IRS in the 2008 guidance for Americans, admittedly, but the same word gains, did it on a per session basis. In this case, as I read your brief and the lower court and the IRS's position, it's on a per spin basis. Why the difference?
Because that Chief Counsel Advisory deals with domestic taxpayers.
I know, but it's interpreting the word gains in a common sense way, and we have the same word here. Why would we?
It's a different statutory scheme.
No, I know that, but the words
get the 165 deduction. They get the gambling loss
deduction. Foreign citizens get hammered on the deduction side. I get that. But what we first have to figure out, as Judge Sintel said, before we get to that, is how do we calculate the gain, right? And in doing that, the IRS has said, and that I read that advisory many times, is it's all about gain. How do we figure out gain from slots? And it says the per spin approach just is completely unreasonable. Doesn't have completely. It says unreasonable. So why would we go with the per spin approach for the word gains in the foreign statute? I mean, I guess, you know, your theory of just hammering foreign citizens into the ground, that's fine. But that's not really a legal theory. That's, you know, taking as much money as we can get at the casino from them.
Our position is really that interpretation makes a nullity of 873, the deduction provision,
Let's go to a hypo then on that. You win, you have 20 sessions, in 10 of them you win a total of 500,000, and the other 10 you lose a total of 500,000, okay? For the American, you're gonna have 500,000 in income, deduct 500,000, pay tax on zero. For the foreigner, even under the per session approach, you're gonna have 500,000 in income, can't deduct anything,
Correct. Pay
tax on the 500,000.
That's correct.
But your approach is just add up the jackpots within the session, and those could be a million.
Right.
Right?
That's the approach. That's the law that Congress enacted.
But that's stemming from the word gains. And how do I make sense of the word gains, having read the IRS guidance, which I know is not binding on me, but I find it persuasive? Why do I interpret the word gains for foreigners differently than I interpret the word gains for Americans?
And I go back to Congress limited the deductions in 1973.
Yeah, but you're going back to something that's not at issue.
I'm with you on the deductions.
But in order to offset, in order to do the netting, the taxpayer is going to have to come up with a provision in the Internal Revenue Code that lets him do this.
It's the word gains. You've read the guidance, correct?
I've read that chief counsel advisory.
Yeah. Okay, and that's all about the word gains.
Okay. Can I try another?
Starts with, you know, holds that wagering gains are included in gross income. Section 165D uses the word gains, right? Wagering gains. It goes all through that, and then it says that you recognize a wagering gain or loss at the time she redeems her tokens.
Okay.
Per session, not per spin. Mm-hmm. Why not the same result for gains here?
Well, for one thing, the tax court made a finding in its opinion that the taxpayers didn't supply evidence with respect to the wagering money used to generate the winnings on a per session basis or otherwise. So an initial comeback would be they didn't prove their case. They were going on they litigated this below on the basis of the annual
loss.
How
we resolve this case on the facts is one question. You're seeking a legal theory, though, for us to put into an opinion that would recognize a per spin legal theory. And I just don't think that's a correct way to interpret gains. The IRS itself has said that's an unreasonable way
but
to interpret.
In this case, Your Honor, we're arguing you don't get to that issue if the taxpayer doesn't put on a case with respect to per session, right? And then the other point is, under the government's position, the taxpayer would be limited to the cost of the winning jackpot, which would be on a $5 machine that pays off $50,000, it would be the $5. It would be the $5.
Right.
You are conceding
that's the per spin.
That's
you
that's
said,
the per,
but, you want a per spin theory, not a per session theory.
But he's not, he didn't litigate the case that way.
Well, you can say he doesn't have the facts to win on a per session theory. That's one argument. Another argument, which is your whole brief, is the per spin theory is the right theory of gains for the
foreigners.
That's
foreigners. Our position, that he's not
that is your position,
to the annual loss deduction.
I don't think I'm with you on that.
And that basically his position is to try to do an end run around the law of the Congress. Now, in other words, Congress has come out in the legislative history discussed in the Barber case. They discuss at length the legislative purpose behind this legislation.
You do understand that the Barber case is not binding on us.
That's correct, Your Honor. But Congress has made its position clear.
Is there a binding decision from this court or the Supreme Court on this question?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
What I thought.
But we submit that the reasoning in the Barber case is correct and should be followed. And indeed, we mentioned in our answering brief that Congress, in legislative history, has cited the Barber case with approval. This is on page 26 to 28 of our brief. So the congressional
I don't want to get a side note here, but a congressional report that cites a claims court case with approval is not.
It was a congressional committee doing modifications to the gambling legislation that applies to non-resident aliens.
Has Congress ever said in a statute committee report or floor statement that gains in slots is calculated on a per spin basis?
I don't think so, no. But in general, this committee has approved the reasoning in the Barber committee, in the Barber opinion, mm-hmm. and Congress was concerned about non-resident aliens coming over to the United States and incurring tax liability, and then it's basically difficult to track them down in the foreign country. So the solution they came up with
is twofold. One, the withholding on the spot.
Right.
That's for everyone. Right. And the other was, and this isn't really a solution to the fleeing problem, this is just a let's get more income or more revenue issue, which is we're not going to allow the foreigners to deduct. Right. That's not a we can't track it down issue. That's a even if you want to put in your refund claim, foreigner, forget it. For your losses, you're done. So they're, even under the language of the statute as I see it, foreign citizens are getting a much worse deal than American citizens under the statute. But it's not as bad as your as your approach. And I don't think it has anything to do with being able to track them down. That's what the withholding on the spot does.
Yeah.
Although in this case, there was no withholding. The taxpayer...
Something got screwed up. I was curious.
He submitted a form saying he was a U.S. resident.
He won.
So there was no withholding.
He won 138 jackpots, and only three were withheld on the spot. What happened at the casino? Weren't they supposed to all be?
Something got mixed up, but also he did mislead the casino and represent that he was a U.S. citizen or resident. So this is like a classic example of the wisdom of Congress's decision.
Now, on a lot of these things, I hear your point on those kind of collateral factual issues, but I took your brief to be really strongly asserting a legal position that I find a little...
Do they never withhold? I know this is irrelevant. I'm going to ask it anyway. Do they never withhold on American citizens who win big jackpots?
I think if you... I'm not positive. I think if you file the statement saying that you're a U.S. citizen...
You don't get withheld.
Then it's reported to the IRS.
Discretionary on whose part?
On the part of the player.
Okay. Which way the exercise?
I want to fix that too.
Do you have anything?
The other case.
Yeah. Pardon me.
The other case I'd like to cite is the Supreme Court's Grossinger decision. Gretzinger, and that was a case that involved the alternative minimum tax, and in that case. Congress didn't allow a deduction for gambling losses in the case of computing the alternative minimum tax. And the Supreme Court just took it as a given. Deductions are matters of legislative grace. And there was no dispute at all about the fact that a taxpayer not in a trade or business of gambling then could not get any deduction for gambling losses.
If you're operating, though, on a per session as opposed to a per year base, you can still apply that Grossinger case to the same result.
If you have books and records.
You're going back to the facts now, but as a matter of a legal matter, that language is still an applicable language, even if you use gambling losses to compute the gain in the first instance. If you trim up the income question by what's won and lost in a given session, you don't get to the deductibility question that is foreclosed in that Grossinger case, do you?
Right.
Go ahead. You had explanation.
The other finding that the tax court made was the taxpayers didn't keep any records of their gambling activities.
Okay.
So this case just doesn't
Can I ask you about a different case, which is Schoenberger? The tax court in 2009 says the better view, this is interpreting the word gains for an American, the better view is that a casual gambler, such as the taxpayer who plays the slot machines, recognizes a wagering gain or loss at the time she redeems her tokens. We think that the fluctuating wins and losses left in play are not accessions to wealth until the taxpayer redeems her tokens and can definitively calculate the amount above or below basis the wager realized. Right? That's a per-session approach adopted for Americans by the tax court.
In other words, counsel, don't ever count your money while you're sitting at the table.
But Congress was concerned about getting their hands on the money, and this is the method they came up with.
But your point about this issue is that this isn't what he sought, and there's no records on it. Is that right?
I'm sorry, say again, Your Honor.
I take it you're setting aside the legal question. Aren't you telling us that he did not argue the case this way, right? And he doesn't have the records to do a per-session calculation. Is that right?
Well, there are some limited records from the casino that show the winnings above, I think, $2,500. Yes. But the taxpayer just stipulated that he didn't have any books and records. He was a recreational gambler.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, in any event, for the reasons stated in our brief, we think the Barbara decision is correct. It should be followed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does Mr. McDivitt have any time left?
No.
You can take 2 minutes. That's it. 2 minutes.
Thank you. Just one point. We not only have the chief counsel advice, but the Schoenberger case cites the memo and relies upon it. So we have case precedent as well as just the memo. John's reference to Mr. Park making a representation that he was a U.S. resident is not factually accurate.
It's not true?
It's not true.
He didn't sign that form?
The reason, here's why, they didn't.
Wait, excuse me. Did he sign the form or not?
He did sign the form, but okay. Here's what happened, Your Honor.
Yeah.
They told him, and he went to college in the United States. He got a Social Security number.
Move back to this date on what he did on this date.
He may want to after
had children and
He may really want to, given what's going on in South Korea. But he got a Social Security number while he worked here in the States. Somebody at the casino told him, "Oh, if you have a Social Security number, we don't have to withhold." So he said, "Oh, okay, great, here it is."
Yeah, but did he sign Did he sign a form saying he was a U.S. citizen?
They prepared a form, he signed it, and the form said.
And it said, I'm a U.S. citizen, right?
The word answered would be yes.
Yes. Okay. Was it 1001? Form 1001 is the form you sign if you represent yourself as a U.S. resident, which I don't think he did.
He did what? You don't think he signed it?
No, he did sign it.
Oh, all right.
I might be wrong about that.
About what?
I might be mistaken that he signed a form that said he was a U.S. resident. I don't remember that being part of the record.
I thought it was.
Okay.
Just one other point.
One sentence. Go ahead.
Yeah. Congress relies upon the courts to interpret the statute. So in the legislative record, when they refer favorably to Barba, it's because they assume the courts are interpreting the statute right.
Okay. Thank you. Case submitted.
Thank you.